and turn to Galatians. We're going to read several verses there tonight. I'll apologize ahead of time. My voice is a little bit not good. I have a cold and it's in my throat, so I'll do the best I can. But I don't have to compete with the rain this evening. That'll be a blessing. Galatians chapter 1. We'll read two verses, we'll pray, and I'll let you be seated, and then keep your Bibles open. We're going to read several other verses. And just a little background on the church of Galatia and what Paul is writing about here. As Paul was writing them, Paul, when he had left Galatia, the church started going down, and it started going down pretty quickly. They started changing. They started changing their beliefs, their behavior towards Paul. And so, as Paul is writing to them, Paul is going to deal with these issues and talk to them about it. And there's one thing I want to point out to us tonight about it and talk about a little bit. We're going to look at the problem and what caused them to start their downward spiral. Can I get just a touch more, Brother Zeke, on the monitor? That'd be great. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we'll read together. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, pray you'd bless our time together this evening. We're here for a reason, Lord, and the service has been great so far, the singing and all that we've done. And I just pray, Lord, as we look in your word for a minute, and we look at a particular thing, that you would help us to see where it applies to our life and see where we need to be careful and where we need to watch out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is telling them here that he is actually marvel, or he's astonished at how quickly they had backed off of their beliefs. The fact of the matter is they were starting to change what they believed about the gospel. By the way, that happens over the years. There's many people I went to college with many years ago, and you keep up with them, or you hear about them. They've changed what they've believed. They've changed the course of their life, and that happens. And that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about one of the things that helps us or will push us in the wrong direction. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul is describing the seriousness of the problem here as he goes throughout the book. Galatians chapter 4, and verse 11. He says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In fact, Paul is saying here that he's almost to the point. He's like, man, I'm afraid that all the effort that we put into you, it was wasted. Because of the direction you're going, because of the change in what you believe. Look down at verse 15 of Galatians chapter 4. A couple verses down. He said, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible that ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul, many people feel that Paul's infirmity in his flesh had something to do with his eyesight. He talks in one of the epistles about having to write in large writing. So they felt that Paul had maybe an eyesight problem. And what he's saying is when he was there, the Galatian people loved him so much that if it had been possible, they would have given him their eyes so that he probably would have had the kind of eyesight that he could have had. That's how much they loved him. But then he says, but now it's to the point where I'm almost your enemy because I tell you the truth. Now, what had happened? They had changed what they believed. They had changed the truth that they believe. And now Paul's saying, am I going to be your enemy because I stand up for the truth? And these were the same people that loved him and followed him when he was there. Now, how did that happen? What happens to get people to that point? Let's read two verses here. Flip back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says there, Galatians 3, 1, he goes, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whom eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7. Paul says here, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He uses a couple words here to talk about what has happened to them. He uses the word bewitch. Bewitch means to be charmed by praise so that you can slander somebody. Hinder means to beat back, to check the course of a ship. It's almost like hinder would be like someone's coming and you're stopping them from going forward. And Paul says, you've been bewitched. You've been hindered. But how was that accomplished? What happened to them? Have you ever seen somebody in any area and they start to go bad, they start to go wrong, and someone says, what in the world happened to that person? You ever hear that? What in the world happened? That shouldn't be the question. Here's what the question is. Who happened to them? That's always the question. He said in the two verses that we read, he said, who hath bewitched you? A person. Who did hinder you? And then in verse 7, he said, which is not another, talking about their false gospel, but there be some that trouble you. See, it's not a what that happens to somebody. Most all of the time, it is a who that happens to somebody. Whenever someone starts to get away from God, they start to change their beliefs, they start to be different, they start to go downhill, you got to ask this question. Who influenced them? When I was youth director, I talked about that this morning. When I was a youth director, every single time, when one of our teenagers would start going bad, or I'd pull them in, and it's like, all right, who are you hanging out with? What's going on here? 95% of the time, it's a who. It's a who. I've learned something over the years. That doesn't just work for teenagers. It works for adults, too. When I switched out of being youth director and moved in, at the first part I had this young singles in the church, it's like, guess what? They're the same as the teenagers. They're just a little more sophisticated, and they hide it a little more better. But it's a who. Who is influencing them? You look at the Bible. There's stories all over the Bible. The story of Amnon. Amnon liked his half-sister, Tamar. And it was just some kind of weird off-the-wall crush that he had for her that he should not have had, and really nothing would have became from it, but he had a friend, Jonadab. Jonadab gave him a plan that if he enacted, he could get his sister. And Amnon, the Bible says he had a friend, he did this thing, he raped his sister, and horrific consequences. Why? It's because somebody pushed him. He had that desire, nothing would have came of it, but there's a friend there that just kind of pushed him towards that wrong action. By the way, I find it very interesting that when Amnon was killed by Absalom, guess who ran to King David and announced his death? The very one who gave him the idea in the first place. Dinah, you look at Dinah, one of Jacob's daughter, and she looked out and she started hanging out with the daughters of the land and she became immoral. It's almost always a who. All it takes in our life is one person who can influence us to change our beliefs. And usually they tie it into some lust of the flesh, something we want to be a part of, and we're hooked, and we move on. My question to you tonight is, and we're going to look at some people we need to be very careful about, who's influencing you? You see, the day in which we live, it's even easier to be influenced by the wrong person than even it was 10, 15 years ago. With the advent of social media and the speed of which we can connect with people and call people and talk to people and be connected, it's very, very difficult to stay right, and it's very easy to get caught up in a wrong relationship that's going to influence us to go the wrong direction. Look at some of the things that you can be on: Facebook, Instagram, the blogs you read, the texting, something called Snapchat, which is actually pretty dangerous because it's deleted 30 seconds after you post it. See, these are all problems. See, the older we are, sometimes we think about it, well, I'm on that because I want to see grandma's cat. Well, that's great. Your children don't want to see grandma's cat. And by the way, Because people can hide behind this social network, they'll say and do things that they normally would not do. By the way, let me say this. If you have that stuff, be careful who you follow. It's amazing. I have extra time when I'm on vacation, so I do have Instagram. So I just bump around. This person's and some of the stuff that good people like is ridiculous. It's like, hold on a second. Do you not understand that's godless? Well, they liked one of my pictures. I don't like any of them. If my grandchild's in it, that's one thing. But it's in the people we follow. I have relatives. Oh, you want to follow Uncle Steve? Okay, great. You know what? They get one shot. They're gone. They're posting nonsense. I don't want to see that stuff. It's getting quiet in here. I'm sorry. By the way, if you say on your little profile you love God, don't post garbage right after that. If you're going to be a heathen, be a heathen. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Don't mix the two together. It doesn't work. You know, Billy Johnson, follower of God, love Led Zeppelin. Those two don't go together. Anyhow. Okay, what does it say to do here? Moving on to this. All right, yes. By the way, let me say this, parents, be very careful. I don't think your children need a cell phone. Boy, it's real quiet tonight. But I want to call them. Yeah, well, you can call them, but so are 12 other boys. So are 5 other girls. Okay? You know, Pastor used to say a lot of times, it was nice when Pastor was here. I used to always say, it's nice being an assistant pastor. Someone comes in and they're dealing with all kinds of nonsense. I'm going to kill my wife. This person did that. I'm like, you know, I think you should go see Pastor Esposito. I don't deal with it. You know, I can't say that right now. And Pastor used to always say, if you knew what I knew, how many of you remember that? He ain't lying. Okay? Your friends aren't just texting their friend, oh, Daisy, what are you wearing tomorrow? I don't want to wear the same outfit. Daisy's a guy. And Daisy's not talking about outfits. Where are we going to? And by the way, let me say, don't let your kids hide in their room. our kids, it's never really been a hard, fast rule, but our kids just don't come home and hang in their rooms. I don't like that. If you're hiding in your room, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Okay, you're part of the family. I like our house. It has that, if you've ever been to it, you come in, it has the living room. There's half a wall living room, it's kitchen or dining room area, and then it's big U-shape. Family room, you can see everybody. And our computer's right there in the middle where you can see it from everywhere. Okay, I don't want them hiding in their room. That makes me nervous. And parents, with all that's going on with this stuff, it is so easy. It is easy for a good kid to get tripped up. I'm not even saying all the kids, look, what's the matter? You don't trust these teenagers? No. Do you trust your teenagers? No. And I don't, you know what? I don't even trust you. And I don't trust me. Because if we put ourselves in a bad situation, we don't think of Bible verses. The flesh doesn't pop up and say, hey, she's flirting with you. The flesh says, hey, you still got it going on, cowboy. Okay? That the flesh doesn't quote, you know, flee from evil. That's not what it does. Okay, that's not what the message is about tonight. But let's be very careful. The Bible's very clear. There are, and I could go through many, I'll just mention a few tonight. We need to be very careful. There's people we need to avoid. There's people we cannot allow to influence us. One of them is a critic. Flip over to Proverbs. Let's read a few verses. And by the way, we're not talking about the social media, but all these stuff would be on social media. The critic. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. The critic says, Proverbs 18, verse 8, it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly, a talebearer, a critic, someone that's saying something about somebody. It's very destructive and it's very hurtful. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, look over at two chapters. Okay. Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips. You can always tell, a talebearer, if we could help her quietly, if she'll just sit there, that's fine. We don't need to have a scene. But usually a talebearer is, they'll say something nice, won't they? You know, John, you're such a good guy and you're part of all that, and over there, but you know so-and-so. Okay? You can just, unless she needs to go, that'd be fine. But they're critical. And then look at Proverbs chapter 26. We like these verses when we're in Bible college because we used to preach them. Now, we didn't preach them the way the Bible said they say, but it sounded good. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Man, that was that was every preacher guy's favorite verse. We need the fire of God's word. We need the fire of this. We need the fire of that. Okay, well, let's read the rest of the verse, all right? So is contention to a man to kindle strife. You know what it says? If there's no wood, you're not going to have a fire. And it also says if you don't have someone that's causing problems, everything's good. There's no strife. Critics cause problems. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer's wounds, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A critic literally is poisoning your soul. You see, when you listen to somebody and they're being critical and you're only hearing one side of the story, but it taints how you look at that person. Now, I'm sure kids in our school didn't do it, but when we were younger growing up, there may be a girl you thought, oh, she's kind of cute, you know, I kind of like her, and you'd be hanging around your friend, and he's, oh, you know that girl? Man, she's ugly. Or she's this, and you're thinking in your mind, I kind of thought she was, but your friend said it, and now all of a sudden you look at her the wrong way. By the way, guys, she's not looking at you anyhow, so don't worry about it, okay? All her friends say you're ugly, so don't worry about that. You see, there are two sides to every story. I remember in 2000, I started out, we had a singles class, and pastor came to me, he said, you know what, I want you to start a couples class. He says, we'll take your singles class, we'll split it into three classes, and we'll let you start a couples class. And I thought, great, because the singles, I mean, we had, our singles class was huge, you know, but you'd have 50% of the crowd was different every week because they're singles, and they needed to be knocked over the head. And I thought, great, you know, you get a couple, you get two for one. So we got all these prospects, and my wife and I are on a Tuesday night, and it's like, let's go visit some prospects for the new class. So we go to the first couple's house, and only one person was home, and we sat down, and hey, you know, hey, how you doing? Our class starts on this day. We're trying to get you, blah, 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 blah. And the person unloaded on their spouse. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, that's not why we came here. And so after a while of that, it's like, okay, well, you know, he wasn't there to defend himself, so okay. So we left. All right, God bless you. Hope to see you guys. So we go to another house. Only one was home. Guess what? Different person, same story. So we left the house. We got in the car. I said, okay, Alma, obviously, let me share a thought with you here. This isn't the singles ministry anymore. There's two sides to every story, honey. Now, when we left the first house, it's like, that guy needs to be arrested. He's up there with Charles Manson. Okay, we were hearing one side of the story. By the way, there's always two sides to every story. You know, and the bad thing about critics is all you hear is one side of the story, and you make a judgment, and you start moving away from somebody, and you haven't even given that person the opportunity to defend themselves. And by the way, if someone's criticizing them for an issue, the thing is this, they're not handling it the scriptural way. What's a scriptural way? I have a problem with Charlie. I go to Charlie and I work it out with Charlie. That's how you deal with it. I don't go to him and them and this and say, hey, Charlie's a loser and blah, blah. He did this to me. Critics. It's our society. It's what we do. We take shots at people. People leave a church and they'll take shots at the church and they'll take shots at the people in the church. By the way, you know what they're saying when they do that? They're not very spiritual. If they don't want to be here, leave. There's no hate fest. Find a church you love and go for it. By the way, if you came here from another church, don't criticize the church you came from. It wasn't for you. You came here, and we're glad to have everybody. We do that with jobs. We get one job, and we go to another job, so we criticize the job we came from. I remember it was a guy named Ed when I worked at Ingram Paper. Ed was the supervisor of our shift. Good guy. And the last interview was with Ed on our work shifts because he had to deal with the guy, so he would get the last shot at him. And so he interviewed a guy, and the guy left. And my buddy John went up to him and said, "Hey, are we getting a new employee? Are you going to hire this guy?" And Ed told John, he goes, "You know what? I was going to." He goes, and right before the guy walked out, he said, "By the way, why do you want to leave your other job?" And he said, and the guy started criticizing his other boss. And he thought, man, if I hire that guy, that's what he's going to do to me. That's not the way to handle things. Critics. So be careful. Stay away from them. They'll poison you. By the way, they're all over social media. They're all over blogs. They're all over the news, especially our Christianity. It's not very popular, and so we need to move forward with it. Let me give you another group of people that we need to be careful about influencing us. It's the unsaved. The unsaved. Now, this is a tough one where we have to be very, very careful. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "Wherefore come you out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Now, we are supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love everybody. And we're supposed to reach out to everybody. We are not supposed to look down on anybody. But let me say that. That doesn't mean that we buddy up and hang around with them and let them influence us and drag us down. You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He's Jesus and you're not. And by the way, being a friend of sinners doesn't mean I go hang out with them at Starbucks just to hang out with them. If I hang out with them at Starbucks, I'm trying to witness to them. That doesn't mean it's like, "Hey, what are you guys doing tonight? Let's just go chill out together," and it's you and four unsaved people. That's not good. And that's not what the Bible's talking about. But we need to be very careful. Love them. Be there for them. Bring them to Christ. But don't, and by the way, girls, let the men reach the men and let the ladies reach the ladies. You say, "Well, I'm trying to reach a 70-year-old and I'm 20. Okay, go for it. But, you know, I'm just trying to reach him for the Lord, man. Get a guy to do that. Because can I just tell you something? He's not trying to be reached by you for the Lord. He's not. You mean a guy would have ulterior motives? It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Yes. And by the way, he'll fake getting saved just to make you happy. If you're not supposed to marry an unsaved person, should you date them? Why would you court them? Okay, that's right up there with that other one. You didn't like that one either. Look, one thing I did right when I got right with God is I ditched my friends. I hate to say it like that. I quit hanging out with them. I didn't call and say, "You're flaming heathens. I cannot hang around with you. I am righteous and you are not. God says you're unclean. I can't touch you." But you know what? I didn't go out with them on Friday nights anymore. Didn't contact them for any of that stuff. You know why? Because I knew where it was going. Now, they started contacting me. And I'm like, "I'm serving God. And why don't you come to church with me?" And some of them came. I remember the very last time I went to one of my friend's house. It was a guy that lived right across the school, Filipino guy. We were best friends. Dated my sister for a while, but that was a mistake. And I quit hanging around with them. And it was a Saturday or something. I thought, you know, I hadn't been by to see them guys in a long time. And I thought, I had nothing to do. I'm going to go talk to them. Got on my motorcycle. I went over there. Him and a couple of my buddies were there. I went in the thing. His mom, she's like, you know, we called her mom. We were close to her. "Hey, how you doing?" And, "Oh, Steve, haven't seen you for a while. How's everything?" We're sitting down there. And they offered me to go do something. "Hey, next Sunday night, we got these tickets. Let's go do this." And I don't even know why. The first word in my mouth is, "Yeah, I'll do it." And as soon as that happened, my spirit just, God smote my spirit. And I'm like, that was a wrong answer. I ain't supposed to be going with these guys, and I'm definitely not supposed to be going to that place. And after a couple minutes, I made an excuse, said, I got to go. I just got up and left. And I almost made a mistake because I went back to hang around with those guys. Now, that same guy came to church with me. I invited him to church on a Wednesday night, brought him over for dinner, put a bunch of tracts on his table. I wasn't very subtle. He came down, oh, have a seat. There was his dinner plate, and there was like five gospel tracts around it, you know. Hey, read that one. My wife cooks. Read that one. But he got saved, was coming to church for a while. Listen, I couldn't hang around with them because it was going to take me right back to the place I had just left. Got to be very careful. We mentioned it this morning. Christmas is coming. You're going to, look, listen, the stuff that happens at Christmas parties, people in our church have told me that they've been to, is ridiculous. I thought Christmas was about like Frosty the Snowman and, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Lady in our class one time was working in office with ladies, and she didn't go to their party because they were going to have a male dancer, stripper, come out of a cake. That was their Christmas party. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, you know, the alcohol is going to be flowing, but I don't drink. Don't go. But I don't want people to think I'm weird. I'd have them think I'm weird and be right, then have them think I'm not weird and get hooked up and doing wrong. You got to be very careful. All it takes is one thing to get yourself in trouble. So watch out for the unsafe. Watch out for the majority. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2 says this, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Let me say this. The majority is usually wrong. Kids ever give you this? Well, can we do this? You know, everybody else is doing it. Guess what? You're not everybody else's child. And it makes me nervous if everybody else is doing it. That means that there's probably something not right about it. It's funny how everybody wants to be a rebel. Everybody wants to be different. So you know what they do? They look for the next fad that everybody's doing so they can be different just like everybody else. The majority is usually wrong. You see, the problem with that is, as Christians, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to be seen as different. And so we allow someone to put peer pressure, to put wrong peer pressure on us to do something that is wrong, and we're just afraid because we're not going to be like they are. Who cares? You know, the majority of the people in this country get divorces. The majority of the people in this country have jobs they hate. The majority of the people in this country are not fulfilled with their life, and we're going to follow them? Just because they get on their Instagram and say, I'm loving life, doesn't mean they really are. Life is not a picture. Okay, oh, that one, what are they doing the rest of the time? But we follow them and we allow them the influence because, well, if everybody else is doing it, it must be something I need to do. No, you don't. The only thing you really need to do is what God tells us to do. Now, if the majority in our country starts to read their Bible, go ahead, follow them. I haven't seen too many on Instagram where it's like, this is my Bible. I'm reading it. Sergio would do it sometimes. No, it's some nonsensical thing they're doing. And by the way, it comes at us from every single, you can't even listen to the news without hearing garbage. It is all over the place. The majority, it's just thrown at us. If you want to be a rebel in a good way, be different for Christ. I want to be different, so I'm going to follow everybody else. You want to be different? Stand up for God. That will separate you in a heartbeat. Let's not just follow everybody. Let me give you another one. Don't follow the fool. Let me read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Now, when we think of fool, we think of someone that, you know, is and we call, oh, you fool. No, don't do that. God calls people fools, all right? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. This verse has a positive and a negative. We are to seek out those who are wise. They are trying to learn God's word. They are trying to put God's principles to work in their life. That is a wise man. And if we follow them, we will become like them. But look what he says. There is judgment for people that hang around with fools. That's a pretty powerful warning. It doesn't even just say, and maybe it is by inference, that if we hang around with a fool, we'll become like a fool. That's really not what it's saying. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. He says you're going to get yourself into trouble if you hang around with a fool. But what is a fool? Well, if you look in Proverbs, it mentions three types of people. There's a wise man, one that seeks to put God's word into practice in his life. There's a simple, they just don't know. They don't know God's word. But then there's a fool. A fool is dangerous because a fool is one who defies or ignores God's principles. They know what's right, but they're like, I defy it. I'm not going to do it. I'm ignoring that in my life. I don't understand how someone that's a Christian would want to be with someone who that you think is cool simply because they're defying God. They're doing their own thing. They think they know more than the Lord. People do that all the time. Yeah, but they're nice people. I know, but if they defy God, they're a fool. They're not supposed to be someone we spend a lot of time with. We'll follow their ways and we'll be judged by God for what they're doing. I got one more for you. I'm sorry. I told you that was the last one. It's not the first time I've been wrong. This one is going to be hard for you to swallow. The backslidden. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Now listen to this. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. That means hang out. If any man that is called a brother. Oh, he's a Christian. Okay. Be a fornicator. Covetous, that's everybody, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. That's pretty heavy. It says that someone who's called a brother, they're involved in these things that are not Christian, they're not right. He says, don't company, don't hang around with them. And then he takes it the next step further. He goes, don't even eat with them. Whoa, what if they're paying? Don't eat with them. Just say, you know, yes, you can pay, but can we eat at separate times, at separate places? Don't eat. You know why? They're bad for you. 1 Corinthians, if you read that book, the Corinthian church had all kinds of issues. As Paul said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole group. Says you let this evil in, it's going to ruin everything. By the way, in our youth group, you know who ought to be the, we shouldn't have big shots, but if we have big shots, it ought to be those that are on fire for God, not the rebels. If there's a rebel in our youth group and they're going around the rules and they're doing their little things, they ought to be on the outskirts. Now, we ought to love them. Don't be a Pharisee, but they shouldn't be the ones looked up to in the group. That happens. No, they ought to be the ones that love God. Because, see, the backslidden are worse for you than the unsaved. See, if I'm around Charlie at work and I know he's unsaved and I'm right with God, I know, listen, this guy's unsaved. He doesn't know any better. I'm not going to hang around with the guy. I mean, I'm going to love him at work. I may sit with him in the break room. I may try to witness to him, talk to him a little bit, that type of thing. But I know he's unsaved. But then I got this same guy at my work, and he says he's a Christian. But he lives exactly like that guy right there. You know what my flesh does? Because he's like Saul in the morning. I've obeyed the Lord. Samuel's like, seriously? What's that noise? I hear him say, oh, I love the Lord. But he's acting just like that guy. So my flesh says, hey, listen, he does that and he's a Christian. And what's the big deal? We justify it by the fact he says he's a Christian. That's why he's more dangerous for you than that guy. When that guy's around, I put my guard up. When that guy's around, but he's a Christian. I mean, he knows the lingo. He's got the t-shirt. He has the what would Jesus do armband. His shirt says not of this world, although he is. That's a problem. Now, should we love them? Yes. But we better be very careful that they don't influence us. How do you help? Now, sometimes let's not go around designating people, okay? But someone comes into church and they're struggling with sin and they want help. We're on board with it. They're trying to go the right direction. They're struggling. But these people come in and it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I'm a Christian. I'm going to keep doing that. That's a problem. That's a bad spirit. That's an unrepentant spirit. They're not trying to get it right. There's a big difference there. I'm not saying shut people out. I'm saying we had better be very careful who we allow to influence us. Well, you know, this person's my best friend. We went to Christian school together, but they're not serving God right now. Well, we were out the other night together, but they're not serving God right now. Now, if they're coming with you and four other good Christians, go for it. But if you're going to go do some nonsense, you better be very careful. Because the whole time your flesh is like, but they're a Christian. So maybe I'm making too much of a deal out of this. I remember even as a new Christian, I went out on a Friday night with some of the guys at the church. The first 6 months I was there, I didn't know anybody. I was kind of with the older folks, and one of the assistant pastors I mentioned before took me under his wing. I really didn't hang around people my age. And after about 6 months, I started getting in with a few of the guys. I remember on a Friday night, they said, hey, some of us are going to go hang out. And I thought, these are church guys. I'll go out with them. And we were out that Friday night, and you know, we didn't do anything bad. But just something inside of me, that spirit thought, there's just something's not right here. It just doesn't seem like there's much, you know. So I quit going out with those guys. I can tell you now, I don't think any of those guys are serving God. We got to be very careful. You see, what happened to the Galatian church? It wasn't a what, it was a who. If your Christian life starts spiraling downward, let me ask you this, who's influencing you? We better be careful that we choose who we allow to influence us very carefully. And it may not be someone standing before you. Could be some books you're reading. Could be someone you're listening to. Could be someone that you're following. Be very, very, very careful. Why don't we look to someone that challenges us to do more? Say, that's the person I want to be around. I want to get to where they're going. Who are you allowing to influence you? Let's stand together this evening.